have any doubt as to the significance of the musicianship of trumpeter Wynton Marsalis, or doubts about his myriad achievements, or the depth of his artistry, or his feeling for music and the history of music and the influence it has on our lives, then I invite you to get lost for an hour or two, as I did, in his website, WyntonMarsalis.org. In his blog, you will read entry after entry, leading you into a rabbit warren of joy and discovery. His bio alone covers 7 pages of achievement after achievement. Wynton Marsalis, the internationally acclaimed musician, composer, band leader, educator, and leading advocate of American culture, was born the 2nd of 6 sons in New Orleans, Louisiana, on October the 18th, 1961, to acclaimed musician Ellis Marsalis and his wife Dolores. At an early age, Wynton exhibited a superior aptitude for music. At the age of 8, he performed traditional New Orleans music in the Fairview Baptist Church. At 14, he performed with the New Orleans Philharmonic. During his high school days, Wynton performed with the New Orleans Symphony Brass Quintet, New Orleans Community Concert Band, New Orleans Youth Orchestra, and New Orleans Symphony, among others. Wynton Marsalis has created and performed an expansive range of music, from quartets to big band, chamber music ensembles to symphony orchestras, tap dance to ballet, expanding the vocabulary for jazz and classical music with a vital body of work that places him amongst the world's finest musicians and composers. At the age of 17, Wynton became the youngest musician ever to be admitted to Tanglewood's Berkshire Music Center. Despite his youth, he was awarded the school's prestigious Harvey Shapiro Award for Outstanding Brass Student. In 1979, he moved to New York City to attend Juilliard. The list of people that Wynton Marsalis has performed with or studied with, honorary degrees he has been granted, the list of awards he has achieved, is both inspirational and a little daunting. For example, Wynton Marsalis has won 9 Grammy Awards. In 1983, he became the only artist ever to win Grammy Awards for both jazz and classical records, and he repeated that distinction by winning jazz and classical Grammys again in 1984. To this date, Wynton is the only artist ever to win Grammy Awards in 5 consecutive years. But take away all of these things, and you will find at the heart of everything what we are told are Wynton Marsalis's core beliefs and foundation for living, based on the principles of jazz. He promotes individual creativity, improvisation, collective cooperation, swing, gratitude and good manners, sophistication, and faces adversity with persistent optimism, the blues. And when I had the opportunity to speak by phone recently with Wynton Marsalis in anticipation of his visit to the Community Arts Center in Williamsport to perform with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, I discovered a man who has a deep generosity of spirit and warmth, and a man who is engagingly self-effacing. We have many, especially young folk here, who aspire to be great musicians. You yourself were a child prodigy, your father being a great jazz pianist himself, Ellis Marsalis. I suspect you had very little choice in the matter, that music was handed to you in the crib.
Yeah. Well, you're very generous saying I was a child prodigy. I really was not. I wasn't even the most talented in my family. My older brother really could play and had a great aptitude for music, and I have a younger brother. My older brother's name is Branford, and my younger brother is Jason, and he's like a savant genius type of talent and ability for music and for math. And when we were growing up, it was actually a great struggle. My father was struggling, trying to make it playing jazz. And my father never pushed any of us into the music. I came to music really at 12 or 13, even though I had a trumpet when I was 6 years old. I didn't practice it, and I was not serious about it. I'm kind of had what I would call near prodigy talent. Like, I would work a lot, and it could give the illusion that I was on a certain level at a young age. But an example of a prodigy in jazz would be Joey Alexander. Somebody 11 and 12 is playing things of a level of sophistication and complexity. It's unimaginable that a child could do that. I was not like that in any way. I loved the music more from a philosophical standpoint for what I thought it represented. And it wasn't just a given that we would go into music. I started with the trumpet. I got my first trumpet from a guy named Al Hurt. My father was playing in his band in the mid-60s, so he gave me a trumpet as a present for my 6th birthday. I started playing it. I wasn't serious about it, so I didn't really get serious about practicing until I was 12. And it was kind of going into high school. I went into high school that had an 8th grade program. And I actually went into high school to play on a basketball team. And I left the basketball team and joined the band. And then I became serious about music around that same summer and began to practice. And, of course, being with my father, I grew up in clubs. But it was all like small local clubs, never populated with a lot of people. And I actually saw them struggle a lot. A couple of years, when I was 11, he played in a club on Rampart Street in New Orleans, and the club was named Lou and Charlie's. That was one period where they had kind of a larger following, and people would come out, and I always loved the feeling in that club. They served great hamburgers, so at that age, I was more interested in the hamburgers than the music they were playing, but it's an experience that stays with me.
I know a lot of young people who have taken up an instrument, and I know many of them will have experienced times when, you know, they don't want to practice. They'd rather do something else. Could you give a word or two about that and why they should keep on keeping on with that?
Well, I definitely went through a phase where when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I wasn't interested in playing trumpet. So the one thing my mother would do is she would say, okay, you don't have to become a musician, but you have to practice this instrument 15 or 20 minutes a day. So she didn't give me such a long time. It was something I couldn't imagine doing. And I mean, I practiced, I played around. I wasn't really serious. After I became serious about it at 12, I didn't really go through that. I practiced last night. So even across these 40-something years, that has not changed in terms of wanting to be serious and practice. But we all have different capacities, and we all realize things at different times. My advice always to younger people is just keep your finger on it. You know, just touch your instrument every day, play it. You can't force yourself to feel a thing, but practicing is not a fun activity. You know, there are some aspects of it that are fun. If you want to improve on your instrument, you have to do it. And just like everybody wants to play in a game, but doing exercises that get you to some type of athletic competition, those exercises are not fun.
No, and that's so important, isn't it? The practice and the keep on, especially when you don't feel as if you're getting anywhere, because that can happen a lot.
Right. It's like any level of preparation. And then it also becomes you think that your preparation is enough, and it's not. So I was lucky to be around students who were very competitive. So once I settled on whatever my level was, they forced me out of my level. And none of that was an enjoyable experience because we all want to believe we know what we're doing and we don't want to be told anything. But I was around students who were so accomplished and they didn't bite their tongues. So that by the time I got to be a sophomore in high school, I understood the type of work ethic I had to have in order to improve as a musician and to manifest development of my talent.
So you became really serious about the music when you were about 12?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it a sudden inspiration, just a growing realization that jazz or music was incredibly important because you excelled in both jazz and classical?
Kind of, you know, jazz. Yeah, I love records like Clifford Brown's records and Miles Davis, albums that no one in my age had ever heard of. But I was also playing in a funk band, so I played the popular music of our day, but also competition in my high school. I was one of the worst trumpet players. I always laughed. Terrence Blanchard and I were in a all-district honor band when we were both in 8th grade, and we were the only two black trumpet players, and we were the two saddest. And we looked at each other, and we said, man, we're two of the saddest trumpet players here. We got to do something about this. And we started to practice. Even though he lived in New Orleans, I lived in another city, but you know, I started practicing. I wanted to be able to play, and I was not one of the better trumpet players even in our high school. As a matter of fact, when I took my audition, because I actually went into school with some of my tuition to play basketball. And when the band director heard me play, he said, man, Ellis Marsalis' sons are coming here. When he heard me play, he looked at me and said, are you sure you're one of Ellis' sons? Like, I really was not that good. It was a combination of competition, interest. I started listening to jazz records, whereas before I would never listen to an album. I got into the history of music, listening to Clifford Brown, listening to Miles, listening to Freddie Hubbard. Different people were playing, and I started to meet great musicians like Clark Terry, Sweets Edison. So they kind of solidified my interest, even though I have to say that no one in my age had ever heard of any of them or were interested in what they were playing in the slightest.
That must, in some senses, be difficult when you're hanging out with friends and you're heading off into interests at a time when, especially young men, they all want to sort of club together and be part of the team, part of the group.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting your relationship with groups because on the one hand, you have the comfort of the group and the excitement of the group. So it's fun to do that. But on the other hand, you have your individuality and the things that you think and what are you willing to sublimate to be a part of that group? And at a certain point for me, I was just a lot of what my group was doing, I didn't want to do. So not just playing music. They were going to do this and that. It wasn't what I was interested in doing. And I tried to recruit them more to come over to the music. A lot of times it didn't work. But I felt that the music has so much to offer, and sometimes it's good to not let the group define you. Like at that point, 12, 13, I decided I was going to go more on my own. I remember many, many times trying to turn people on to John Coltrane's music or Miles, and they'd be, oh, man, we don't want to hear that. Every now and then you get little victories where somebody would say, oh, man, put that on or put that train on again. Or just that they knew who Coltrane was, I thought was kind of a victory for where we were in space and time.
Now that you are a professional musician, education is incredibly important to you. It's part of your fiber. Why is that? Why do you feel inspired to educate people, and especially youth, in terms of music and especially in terms of jazz?
I feel the more you know about things, the more you can enjoy them. The more we know about food, the more we can enjoy eating. The more we know about any art, we can enjoy going to museums. The more we know about... So I feel that... One of the great jobs we have as musicians, especially of any music that has a development section, like classical music, jazz, things that take time that you have to cultivate taste to enjoy, is we have to start to inform the general public because being a person who was always around jazz and didn't like it, I understand why people have problems with our music. And once I became interested in the music and started to listen to it and having a father that was a jazz musician, I had an advantage in terms of understanding the objectives of the music. And I think as much as we can teach a listening audience what our objectives are, they will get more enjoyment out of it. And as much as we can use our music to show us how to interpret our way of life, which ultimately art forms are designed by people who represent that group at the table of their identity, I think the more successful we'll actually be in our country dealing with our democracy and the way we approach and address each other.
Can you talk a little bit about the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, who you will be bringing to the Community Arts Center?
They're just a fantastic musician. It's been kind of a blessing for me in my life to play at this stage of life with musicians of that caliber. We have 10 arrangers. They're leaders. People run jazz programs at universities. Victor Goins heads up the jazz studies at Northwestern University in Evanston, and they start programs. Vincent Gardner is starting a program in Houston called Jazz Houston. Prayers and everything go out to them with the storm. And I could go through each member just that everybody improvises. They all have an unbelievable ability in terms of their arranging and their concept of music. Each one has a different skill set, and they work together great as a group. So I've had the luxury of playing with them. It's really like having a band full of people who should be leaders. The range and the sophistication of music that we've put together over the last 15 years, we have a huge library of new arrangements. And when we come there, we're going to have some new arrangements of Jelly Roll Martin's music, as well as original compositions that they wrote last year. We did concerts where different members of the orchestra presented original music, all standing ovations, people loving it, which is very unusual for original music. And I could go on and on and on how they teach classes. And most of the times when I leave places or we collaborate with people, they always ask, where did you find this band? And they're as great as people as they are as players.
And that's important, isn't it? That relationship between you, that respect between you, that it's not just one person grandstanding, that it's the entire orchestra.
That is the democratic process that our country has lost sight of. We don't all have the same point of view. So we have different points of views about music. But we find a common ground, and we try to work it out, and we do work it out.
You have a new album coming out on September the 15th called Handful of Keys. Would you like to talk a little bit about this new album?
It was our opening season concert of last year. It features fantastic performances of pianists from across the generations, from a 90-year-old Dick Hyman, who plays with unbelievable dexterity and sparkling clarity, to Joey Alexander, who was 13 or 14 at that time. Myra Melford did an unbelievable job of her piece. I'm not going to give her age, but it's different styles of music. And Isaiah Thompson is a fantastic young student we have at Juilliard. He's 19. He played a Thelonious Monk song called Lulu's Back in Town. Each of the pianists selected a piece they wanted to play, and we wrote original arrangements. Helen Sung is another fantastic piano player, wrote her own arrangement of a McCoy Tyner song, and her arrangement, her playing is fantastic on the record. And it just gives you a chance to hear what's going on in jazz today and what we are doing. And when you hear the range of people across the ages, it gives you a sense of the health of the jazz panel and the excitement of the music, and that we can all come together and play. It gives you a glimpse into really what we could strive for in our country, instead of everything being segmented.
The program you're bringing to the Community Arts Center, are you going to be bringing us standards as well as new stuff? How do you plan for a tour?
Well, we have such a large library. We're going to definitely play some of Jelly Roll Martin's music. We'll play some of the stuff on Handful of Keys. We'll play music from the history of jazz. So we play standards sometimes. We play things that people can identify and also things that will challenge them. So we try to give you a thing that will expand your palate, but that will also satisfy it. And also just the experience of having done it for so many years in communities. We just bring the type of feeling that comes with experience, and we always play for people. Like, that's just what we are about.
Wynton Marsalis, speaking to me by phone, in preparation for his upcoming visit to the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport. Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra will be performing at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport on Saturday, September the 30th. The show will begin at 7:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased through the CAC website at caclive.com or by calling the CAC box office 570-326-2424. Thank you very much to Wynton Marsalis.
And thanks so much to you, WVIA's Fiona Powell. Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra this Saturday, the 30th of September, at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Center in downtown Williamsport. For more information on the web, caclive.com, caclive.com.